जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक्प्राणश्चक्षुः श्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्मोपनिषदम् माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्यां मा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्तु अनिराकरणं मे अस्तु। तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्माः ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरेः। ओम् मे मै लिम्स् स्पीच् वैटल् फोर्स् ऐस् इयर्स् इस् आल्सो स्ट्रेङ्थ् and all the organs become well developed. Everything is the Brahman revealed in the Upanishads. May I not deny Brahman, may not Brahman deny me. Let there be no spurning of me by Brahman. Let there be no rejection of Brahman by me. May all the virtues that are spoken of in the Upanishads repose in me, who am engaged in the pursuit of the Self. May they repose in me. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. We are studying the Kena Upanishad, especially a most important chapter, the second chapter. This is the very crux of the entire Upanishadic literature, especially the fourth mantra which we have been dealing. But what does this fourth mantra really mean? We are all approaching our teachers, studying the scriptures only with one purpose in mind. We are in search of God. Where is that God? Does he stay in Vaikuntha or in Kailasa or in heaven or anywhere else? Where is he? And when am I going to see? When we ask, where is he? That means he is distance from us in space. When we are asking the question, at the moment, I am not able to experience him, see him. But a time will come, if I pray, if I surrender, if I do my best, one day out of his grace, I will be able to see him. And that is answered in beautiful way. In this fourth mantra, it is not that God is in Vaikuntha or Kailasa, he is everywhere. It is not that he will be seen sometime in future. He will be seen in the future, everywhere, all the time. How do we do that? But we are experiencing. Before I go further, I want to point out, though many times I pointed out, when we say, I want to see God, seeing God, hearing God, Devavani or Akashavani, tasting God, smelling God, touching God, etc., as if it is an object. God is not an object. God is the ever-experiencing subject. What does it mean? It means, I'll give a few illustrations, very easy to understand. I am able to see, not because of the object in front of me, not because of the eyes which are capable of seeing, not because of the mind which is alert and using the eyes to objectify that object, because of consciousness. If consciousness is either elsewhere, that means I may be staring in front of a person or an object, but if my mind is thinking elsewhere, then it will not be able to see anything. I gave the example of M, who stood right in front of Sri Ramakrishna and asking Sri Ramakrishna, not noticing that it was Sri Ramakrishna, where is Sri Ramakrishna? Where is he? So, this is one scenario. I am conscious, but I am not paying attention. The second scenario is, I am either sleeping, or I am unconscious, or in between two thoughts, when there is no object at all. So, what is it? Whether I am thinking or not, pure consciousness is there. Whether I move from this house to the other house, whether I move from this country to the other country, and in between both countries, there is a no man's land. The land is there. The bhumi is there. Our earth is there. And everywhere, space is there. Every time, time is there. This movement is called moving in time, moving in space. But without the land being there, I cannot move, and time also can never be experienced. So, where am I seeing God? God has become the Akasha. Akasha means the ability to move, to perform any activity. Even if I want to move my hand up or down, if it is constricted by chains, then I won't be able to move it. But if I am able to move, that means I am free in space. I am free in time. So, I am seeing you. It is a consciousness. I am not seeing you, even not seeing you. And I am aware that I am not seeing you. I am experiencing you. The awareness that I am not experiencing you or anything else is all because of that in the form of consciousness. Some Swamis give a beautiful example. Imagine there is a light in your room, and this is a very popular example. You lift your hand, and do you see my hand? Yes, of course I see my hand. And you take down your hand, keep it in the usual position. Do you see my hand now? No, I don't see my hand. That is fine. But to see the hand, if it is darkness, you won't be able to see. There must be light, whether to know the hand is there or the hand is not there. That is fine. That is not the point. The point is, do you see the light? It is a very fine point. The object reveals that there is light, because without light, I cannot see the object. But the object also reveals the light. Light reveals the object. The object also reveals the light. If you are able to see an object, that means there is light. If there is light, you are able to cognize an object. They are completely dependent upon each other. But whether you see an object or not, light will be there. And that light will be invisible without an object. Even though light is there, that light can never be experienced. It is only even a speck of dust, then we can experience the light. That is an important point. What does it mean? There is an object, I am aware of it, therefore there is an object. There is no object, I am aware, there is no object. I am in the waking state, I am aware, I am in the waking state. I am in the dream state. I am aware I am in the dream state. When I am in the waking state, I am completely aware that I am not in the dream state. I am not in the sleeping state. When I am in the dream state, I am completely aware I am not in the waking state, and I am also not in the sleeping state. And when I am in the sleeping state, I am completely aware that I am not in the waking state, I am not in the dream state. How do I know? Because Sushupti is an unbroken rest for hours together, because the waking and dream states do not interpose, do not disturb, and that absence or presence is noted by the awareness. That means what? Whether I know something, I don't know something. To know whether there is something or whether there is not something, the consciousness must be there. But if you go on questioning without thinking deeply, how do I know that there is consciousness? How do I know that I am aware, I am conscious? It is a very unintelligent question, because who can question? Can you question if you are unconscious? No. I am not asking. There is no time when we are unconscious. Sometimes unconsciousness has been defined as absence of these three states, waking, dream, and deep sleep. The consciousness will always be there. And nobody, how do we put it? Nobody doubts whether I am or not. The moment you doubt, even to doubt, you require consciousness. Even to question, you require that consciousness. Do you see? Consciousness is always there. But where is the problem? Am I identified with the object? Object means, remember, partial reflected consciousness called awareness plus an object in the form of a thought called vritti. Vritti contains two elements, the name and form of an object, and then the knowledge about that object consisting of nama, rupa, and guna. These three. Every object has got a form, a particular name. The same thing, I am putting it in a slightly simplistic manner. When I say, I am Swami Dayatmananda, I am saying actually two things. Me, who is telling I am Swami Dayatmananda, this is Swami Dayatmananda. What is the second thing? By saying I am Swami Dayatmananda, I am saying I am not the whole universe. Consists, I am not a tree, I am not an animal, I am not a hill, I am not a river, I am not the space. I am saying everything, only this is one object, me, Swami Dayatmananda. And at the same time, I am saying I do not exist anywhere else. So, even to be aware that I am Swami Dayatmananda, and to be aware simultaneously, I am not anything else, that awareness, that unbroken, infinite, eternal awareness, which transcends time, space, and causation, must be there. You have to ponder over it. I can only convey these ideas. You have to make them your own. And that is being said. Do I have to do something, go somewhere? No. And do I have to wait for some time? No. Then where is that God I am searching for? Instead of Brahman, I am using the word God. Well, it is only in and through God that we are able to experience anything. In fact, it is only God in the form of consciousness who is saying, I am Swami Dayatmananda, I am not anything else. I am seeing a tree. That tree is also God or Brahman. And so, the person who sees, the object which is seen, and the instruments which are used in the process of seeing, and the resultant knowledge, and the remembrance of what we have experienced, and the ability to recollect it when we want, all these things are nothing but modifications of consciousness. And that is what being said here. And this is the idea. When Hiranyakashipu challenged his son Prahlada, you are always saying about Narayana. Where is your Narayana? I want to meet him. And what can the poor Prahlada do? He says, first you show me where Narayana is not. Then I will show you where Narayana is. Is he in this pillar? Yes, he is in the pillar. What is that pillar? Ahankara. The Ahankara, very Ahankara, I, is it is impossible for it to be without that consciousness. Consciousness itself takes the form of that Ahankara. Why do we call it Ahankara? Consciousness is called Aham, but when that Aham identifies itself with body, mind, then it is called Kara. Body, mind is the Kara. That is called Ahankara. So that Aham, that Kara depends upon Aham, and that Aham is pure consciousness. Ahankara is consciousness limited by this Kara, which is body and mind complex. Now, let us look at this fourth mantra. Prati bodha viditam matam. Every experience, bodha means awareness, bodha means experience, and experience means every state of mind. Every state of mind is the waking state, dream state, dreamless state. And what about turiyam? Turiyam is not a state, but turiyam is the substratum because of which these three states are experienced. Like room number A, room number B, room number C, all the three rooms which are arranged in a triangular format are based upon land. There is no called piece of land. This is my land, your land. I'm not talking about that. We put a border and say, that is your house, that is your land, this is my house, this is my land, that's your country, this is your country. And just as we quarrel, neighbors quarrel, so China wants to take away some piece of India, and India is getting splintered everywhere. Anyway, what I wanted to convey is, without that substratum called pure consciousness, it is impossible. This is what is meant by bodha. Bodha means consciousciousness. And this consciousness, prati bodha viditam, every thought, as I said, is the name, form and qualities, and the reflected consciousness, both together, is called a thought. And every thought that we experience is reflecting that pure consciousness. Prati bodha viditam matam. This is the final teaching. And once a person who stops searching by hearing to the with that Kabir Das song, Moko kaha dhunde re bande, mai to tere paas me hoon. Where are you searching? I am inside you, outside you do not exist, only I exist. That's what Hiranyakashipu, as soon as he broke the Kara. Remember, Ahankara has two parts, Aham and Kara. The Kara can be broken, not Aham. Because Brahman, whatever exists, I am. That will be there all the time. So as soon as the pillar is broken, in the Puranic language, so immediately the God assumes Ugra Narasimha. And then Ugra Narasimha means brilliant light, not an animal. And immediately it destroyed the darkness, the Ajnana, the Kara, what Ramana Maharshi calls Kara. And what should have been Hiranyakashipu's realization? I am you, you are me. This body mind so long has obstructed my knowledge of this, so I thought you are somewhere. Now the thought has to be removed. So that's what Totapuri said, that thought of your mother should be removed. When thought is gone, Kara is gone. When Kara is gone, Aham alone remains. When Aham is there are no two Ahams. Ahankaras are many, infinite. Aham is only one. And who is to say to whom? Because there is nobody. a person who realizes it, amrutatvam hi pindate. That is called realization. That is called liberation. That is called attaining deathlessness, immortality. But how to attain to this? Atmana vindate viryam. Here atmana means the mind has to work. What it has to work? That this kara, that is, I am the body is one aspect of kara, I am the mind is another aspect of kara. And then there are many aspects. I possess this house, I have a wife, I have a husband, I have children, I have parents, and this is my religion, this is my country, this is my language, this is my job. All these are karas, children karas. All of them have to be merged in kara. Then I am a beautiful person, ugly person, short person, stout person, tall person, lean person, beautiful person, ugly person, rich person, poor person, learned person, illiterate person, powerful person, weak person, powerless person. All these things belong to the body-minded. If we are talking about the body. And then about the mind. I am happy, I am unhappy, I am virtuous, I am not virtuous, I have ambitions, I don't have ambitions, and I work hard, and I don't work hard, I have a goal, I have no goal. All these are different thoughts. And this is heaven, that is a thought. This is hell, that is a thought. All these things have to be completely submerged and say, no, I am Brahman. Then that is called Atmana, that is the sadhana, either through bhakti or through jnana. Both paths, many other paths, infinite paths lead to the same goal. If he is a devotee, he will say, I am nothing, I want to be nothing by merging myself in you. And the jnani says exactly the opposite. Oh God, you are nothing, I am everything, you come and be merged in me. Aham brahmasmi. Tat so tasmai mahyam namo namaha. Therefore, salutations to myself. This is called Atmana. Through right knowledge, viryam vindate. That means the person becomes healthy, the mind becomes healthy, the mind becomes happy, the mind becomes dharmic, the mind makes its way nearer and nearer towards God. The nearer it approaches, the more it resembles the God. That is called viryam. And once it goes near, just as my favorite illustration, you go nearer and nearer, a blazing fire, a huge bonfire. And as you approach, your body becomes very hot. If someone happens to touch your body, and it becomes very hot, and the nearer you approach, it becomes hot, hotter, hottest. And when you touch the fire, or you fall into the fire, what do you think you become? You become fire. And you start blazing. You are part of the bonfire. And when somebody comes nearer you, and exactly like the original fire, which made you hot, hotter, hottest, that object also becomes whatever it is. Even a raw trunk of a huge tree, slowly, slowly, first of all the moisture is sucked out of it, and then it becomes dry, and it starts blazing itself, and then any other tree falls into it. That's what happens. See, do you see? This is the process every woman who cooks employs. In the olden times, they put up two stones, put some firewood, dry firewood, light it up, and then they go on adding more firewood, and that wood which is burning makes the freshly added firewood also into itself, and that is how it imparts heat to the water, and then it makes it, finally cooks your rice, your vegetables, your meat, whatever it is. So, Atmana pindate viryam, through proper right sadhana and right sadhana can be obtained only from two sources. First, the ultimate source is only from the scripture, but the proximate source is the teacher who interprets it rightly and who says this much will suit you, not everything, and then he will guide you accordingly. And through you will attain vidya. What is that vidya? Only Brahman exists. And with that vidya, if Brahman alone is, I am nothing but Brahman, indate amrutam. So Brahman is known when it is realized in every state of mind. For by such knowledge, one attains immortality. By Atman, one obtains strength. And by knowledge, one obtains. What knowledge? I do not exist as an individual. I am everything. That is called true knowledge. And such a person is called Dhira. Earlier, we have seen that one. According to Vedanta, the mind itself cannot become conscious. It is a material entity, but like a mirror, it can reflect consciousness. That's why I use the term Chidabhasa. Chit means pure consciousness, and pure consciousness is experienced in the form of reflected consciousness, that means along with the mind. With the help of the light of the Atman, the mind is able to apprehend objects. There cannot be any experience, either internal or external, without the light of the Atman. When a pot is placed before the eyes, the mind takes its form. Then the light of Atman, reflected in the mind, manifests the pot. This mental state, illumined by the light of Atman, is called Bodha in the text. The illumined soul, the realized soul, sees in every mental state or experience Brahman alone, which is consciousness, existence, and bliss absolute. To put it in another language, an illumined soul sees Brahman himself everywhere. So he sees a tree. He doesn't say that is a tree. He says that is Brahman and I am that Brahman. So that is why you remember when a madcap, seemingly madcap, came to Dakshineswar, nobody could recognize him, perhaps excepting a dog. Everybody shunned him because of his ferocious appearance, and he was swimming in the Ananda, Brahmananda. Sri Ramakrishna recognized. Two reactions came from him. First of all, he called Hriday and said that Hriday, he is a Brahmagnani. This Brahmagnani, he looked at Sri Ramakrishna and started laughing. Very beautifully depicted in the Sri Ramakrishna cinema. Very beautifully, because he recognized. So, bhai, you are Brahman, I am also Brahman. And then he went into the temple, stood in front. I don't know whether he saluted, because who is going to salute whom? And then started making a hymn. And Sri Ramakrishna said two things. The whole temple started shaking first. Second, he said, the mother seemed to be highly pleased with this man. Naturally, he knows what she is, she knows what he is, and both of them know that we are not separate. But from devotee's language, she is the mother, I am a child. After that, he wanted to eat food, but even the beggars refused to allow him to sit by the side, and rightly so. Practically, we all will do the same thing. Why? Maybe he is smelling very badly. Brahmagnana is welcome. But the dirty smell is certainly not welcome. But dogs, they cherish that. So he went to the refuge heap and sat, because in those days, plenty of food used to be thrown, because they used to prepare a certain quantity of food, and it was not utilized every day, most of the days, because the expected number of guests will not be turning out. So he went, dogs were eating happily, and he went, put one hand on one dog, and then he started eating. The dog did not mind. Why did it not mind? Because instinctively it realized that this is my fellow dog, fellow creature. He is not going to harm me. But more is something made it that this is my protector, this is God. Even animals have that instinct. They become fearless. You see, sometimes documentaries, tigers, lions, people enter and they embrace each other, and the tiger, which can fell a huge buffalo and even an elephant, it plays in such a gingerly, common sense manner. Nothing happens to that person. So, we think that they are much more aware than we are aware of what they are aware of. And then, after that he was going, Ramakrishna said, Ridhu, this is a Purna Brahmagnani. And this fellow, he followed, sir, make me a disciple. He could not become a disciple of even his own uncle, what to speak of anybody. But the point is, after following a long distance, the madman stopped, and there was a sewage canal, very dirty canal flowing, and he showed it to Ridhu and said, when you are able to perceive this and the sacred Ganga, is absolutely no difference. Both are sacred because everything is Brahman, and with that he went away. This is the condition of every realized soul. That is what is being said. Now here, there may be a few of you who are very interested in some technical jargon I want to introduce to you. I will not go deep into it, but here is what this footnote is telling us. Supposing there is a pot, any object, it doesn't matter. A pot is an example. And then there is sufficient light, your eyes are working properly, and your mind is also attentive, and it takes notice of the pot. What happens? This is according to Indian theory of knowledge, Indian epistemology. Your mind, along with Chidabhasa, remember, mind along with Chidabhasa, both of them go out through the eye, envelop that pot in this example, as if a mold is being prepared, like your dentist prepares a mold of your teeth. So it takes a mold of that pot and comes back. Now what does this Chidabhasa or the vritti or the thought part do? It brings in the nama and rupa. So this is called vritti phala. This is called phala vritti, what is called chitta vritti. Then by that we will not know what it is. Your consciousness has to tell to the vritti. The vritti's function is to bring that into the presence of the consciousness. This is called vritti vyapti. Vritti vyapti. Vyapti means pervasiveness. So the vritti pervades the pot, and that is all it can do. But it has to be illumined by the light of the consciousness. I am not talking about physical light. Without physical light, even vritti vyapti is not possible. But the consciousness has to tell, oho, I see this form, and let us name it a pot, as to distinguish it from a tree, from a piece of rock, from many everything else. This is called vritti vyapti. So two things are involved. The second one is called phala vyapti. Phala means, the jargon should not confuse anybody. Consciousness pervades that pot, and the knowledge comes, this is a pot. And to summarize, what is it? The thought goes and takes the form of the pot. That is called vritti vyapti. Then the consciousness illumines that name and form in the form of thought. And then it is called, this is a pot. It makes the person understand. So this is with regard to everything that is inert. But supposing you see, supposing there is a light, there is a lamp, and it is covered with a pot, and then you approach it. And even to see the pot, you require a light. Both these things are necessary. How you perceive? It seems there is something hiding inside the pot. Then you lift up the pot. Until that time, you are not able to see any light there. That lamp is there. I gave that example. Keep that in mind. The moment you lift the pot, then the vritti, your thought, goes and pervades. This is called vritti vyapti. But in this case, phala vyapti is completely unnecessary. Why? Because the lamp not only illumines everything else, the lamp also is self-illuminating, swayam prakashatva. So you want to see a sun, you have to look at it with your mind. You want to look at a moon, you want to look at a star. So these are called shiny objects made up of light. So in the case of any object which is lighted up, you require only one vyapti, which is called vritti vyapti. Phala vyapti is not necessary because they themselves will reveal themselves, I am the light. And with the help of that light, you can also have knowledge of any other thing. So two terms, vritti vyapti, phala vyapti. It is not necessary for your brahmagnanam, but those who are interested, they can understand this, just eliminate it. Now, in the fourth mantra, what is the essence? That we are in Brahman. It is Brahman who has become the subject, the Brahman who has become the object. It is Brahman is illumining Brahman. The object is also Brahman, because the existence of the object is borrowed from the Sat. The knowledge that I am a pot, that is called that object's knowledge. And no object can be separated from its knowledge, and that knowledge is borrowed from the chit aspect of Brahman. And every object that we experience either gives us a positive result, negative result, or neutral result. There cannot be anything without any result, either positive or negative or neutral. And that is called borrowed from the Ananda aspect of Satchidananda, depending upon it. So, where is Brahman? Where is not Brahman? When is Brahman? When is not Brahman? It is beyond time, space, but it is all time, it is all space. That is the essence of it. Now we will move on to shloka. Then, what is the fifth shloka is telling? O man, as Swami Vivekananda addressed the Parliament of Religion, Shrunvantu Vishve Amrutasya Putraha Aye dhamani divyani tastu vedahametam purusham mahantam adityavarnam tamasah parastha tameva viditva atimrutyumeti na anyaha vidyate panthaha vidyate ayanaya. There is no other way, because you are potentially divine. You are not going to be non-divine at any time. You are divine, you are divine, you will be divine. But at this moment, you are not manifesting it, and the goal of life is to manifest it, and manifest it either through karma yoga, bhakti yoga, raja yoga, jnana yoga. And this is the meaning of life, this is the goal of life, and there is nothing else for this life excepting knowing that I am divine. So if anybody doesn't pay attention to it, and here in the fifth mantra, and this second chapter comes to an end with this fifth mantra, it is says, it is indeed the greatest loss anybody can incur. If a person doesn't know who he is, that he is divine, and who doesn't strive to know who he is, that is the essence of this fifth mantra. Swami Nikhilanji gives the beautiful introduction. It is indeed miserable to be born into the world, a victim of ignorance, and lead the life of a phenomenal being, be it a god, a man, or a subhuman creature, and experience the suffering of old age, disease, and death. Therefore, a man who has attained a high state of evolution and cultivated spiritual yearning should make a special effort to realize in this very life the goal of freedom. Remember what Buddha's teaching, that life is full of misery. What is he talking about? He is talking about this fifth mantra. Buddha, by the way, was nurtured by the Upanishads. He grew strong by the Upanishads. And he realized Vedanta, the essence of the Upanishads. And he was one of the greatest of human beings. According to Swami Vivekananda, no man greater than Buddha was ever born. Of course, a little bit hyperbole is there, but Rama was that, Krishna was that, Ramakrishna, of course, was that, Swami Vivekananda was that, Ramana Maharshi was that, etc. We will go into this. Iha chet avedet atha satyamasti, na chet iha avedet mahati vinasti, bhuteshu bhuteshu vichitya dhiraha pretya asmat lokaha amrutaha bhavanti. If a man knows Atman here, that means if a man realizes God here, Brahman here, he then attains the true goal of life in Sanskrit called purushartha, parama purushartha, moksha. Moksha means to know that I am Brahman. If he doesn't know it here means while living, a great destruction awaits him. Having realized the self in every being, not only I am Brahman, everything, living, non-living, past, present and future, is none other than Brahman. So, knowing that the self, whatever they are encountering, is nothing but the self, the wise relinquish the world and become immortal. That means, even while living in this world, they do not cherish, hold on to worldly knowledge. What is worldly knowledge? I am this body, I am this mind, I am this so-called individual. Nobody cherishes that. Then what does he cherish? The whole universe is nothing but I am also Brahman, whole universe is Brahman. And then with that knowledge, what happens? He becomes immortal. Brahmavit, Brahmaiva Bhavati. This is the true goal of life. Iha chayet avedit atha satyam asti. Iha means while living. Living where? Animals, as far as we know, are not privileged to realize God. Even gods are not privileged, excepting in rare cases. It's only human beings. And on this earth, in this world of men, one who has got a human birth, he is the greatest being in the whole world. That's why even the great Shankaracharya, in his Vivek Chudamani, at the very beginning itself, he says, Durlabham Trayamai Vaitat Devanugraha Hetukam Manushyatvam, a human birth, Mumukshatvam, a desire to know God or to realize God, and Mahapurusham, one who has been privileged with the company of holy. And if a person doesn't realize it, he is wasting his time. It is the greatest loss in the whole world, not losing money, not even losing life, but losing this invaluable opportunity. That is what iha, while living, chet, if, avedit, if a person realizes, I am divine, atha satyam asti, he will live forever, he will become the truth, and that is the most fruitful life in the world. Na, chet, iha, avedit, if somebody, most of the people do not even trouble. That is what Bhagavan Krishna says. Manushyanam sahasresho kaschid yatati siddhaye yatatam av siddhanam kaschin mam veti tatvataha. Most people do not even know that there is such a elevated idealistic goal in life, paramapurushartham. Even if they know, they have no desire. And even if they have desire, they don't put forth enough energy. So, for example, if a young man looks at a beautiful young woman, and if God comes and asks, you come and look at me, and he will laugh and say, so when I become old, when I become Vedanti, then I will turn my mind towards you. For now, you remove yourself from here. Disappear from here. So, Mahati Vinasti, the greatest loss. There is no comparison to that loss. Why? Because it's just like this. Let me remind you a small story. There was a village And one day Sadhu happened to go there, and he was lying outside the village under a tree. And early in the morning, a farmer was going to his fields. He looked at the Sadhu. He was start to salute. So he just folded his hands, and immediately the Sadhu made sashtanga pranams. And the farmer was shocked, because nobody had ever done it before. And he asked, why did you do sashtanga pranam to me? I am a miserable householder. He did not add it. I am adding it. Then the Sadhu asked, why did you fold your hands? That you are a renouncer. And then the Sadhu replied, you are a greatest renouncer. The farmer did not understand. He asked for explanation. And the Sadhu had given, look, supposing there are two people. One fellow, for the sake of a crore of rupees, renounced one world. And he is getting 1 crore of rupees, like lottery ticket. And another fellow, he renounces 1 crore of rupees in the hope of gaining 1 rupee. Whose renunciation, tyaga, is greater? Of course, even the villager can understand. The person who had renounced 1 crore of rupees, he is so much of value. Naturally, his renunciation is greater. And the Sadhu said, that's what I wanted to convey to you. See, God is like 1 crore of rupees, and you are like the person who renounced 1 crore of rupees for the sake of 1 rupee, which is like a small wee bit of worldly happiness. I renounced the worldly happiness, which is equivalent to 1 rupee, in the hope of getting 1 crore of rupees, which is God, whose renunciation is greater. Yours is greater. You gave up God, and I gave up only a small worldly pleasure. That is why I am compelled to bow down before you. So a person who loses God, he loses everything, really speaking. Because everything is fleeting. Na ched ya vedit. If a person doesn't know that I am divine, I am Brahman, mahati vinashtihi, great loss. Bhuteshu bhuteshu. Vichitya dhiraha, dhiraha. Wise people who have known Vedit, that is, they know I am Brahman. What do they see? Not only I am Brahman, bhuteshu bhuteshu. Whatever they experience, whatever they look at, whether it is bhuteshu bhuteshu means every creature, every creation, created thing, living or non-living, they all come only from panchabhutas. And whatever they look at, they know everything is a manifestation of the Atman. And then naturally, te dhiraha, those dhiras, asmat lokat, pretya. Pretya means after death. What do we mean after death? So it is not death of the body, it is the ajnana, death of ajnana. As soon as their ajnana is destroyed by obtaining jnana, as soon as the darkness vanishes by the power of light, asmat lokat pretya. That is, they cease to see this world as they used to see earlier as we see right now. Amruta bhavanti. That means they know I am divine. Everybody is divine. There is nothing in this world which is not divine. But that divinity is now manifesting to me, in front of me, as in the form of the object with nama, rupa, etc. If we understand it, it will be wonderful. Now I will give you some quotations, because look at Sri Ramakrishna's life. When he was doing sadhana, towards the evening, as soon as the sun set, he used to run to the roof of the kuti where he was staying, and he used to cry with the greatest anguish, "Oh mother, another day has passed. I have not seen you. When death is going to seize me, I do not know." This is exactly Sri Ramakrishna is graphically showing us the meaning of this fifth mantra. And then I will come to Swami Vivekananda, but there is a beautiful verse by Bhartrihari in his Vairagya Shatakam. This is the verse number 6 in Vairagya Shatakam. Kshantam nakshamaya gruhochita sukham tyaktam na santoshataha sodha dussaha shita vata tapana kleshaha na taptam tapaha dhyatam vittam aharnisham niyamita pranaihi na shambhoho padam tattat karma kritam ఇదేవ మునిభి తైతైహి ఫలైహి వంచితాః. వాట్ ఈస్ ఇట్ టెల్లింగ్? ఫర్ గివింగ్ ఆల్ దోస్ ఈవెంట్స్ విచ్ డిజర్వ్ ఫర్ గివ్నెస్, బట్ వీఆర్ నాట్ ఫర్ గివెన్. వీఆర్ రిమెంబరింగ్ అగైన్ అండ్ అగైన్, గివింగ్ అప్ కంఫర్ట్స్ ఆఫ్ హోమ్ బికాస్ వీఆర్ ఇన్ సెర్చ్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్. దట్స్ వాట్ ఎవ్రీ స్పిరిచువల్ ఆస్పైరెంట్ ఈస్ డూయింగ్, బట్ ఐ హవ్ నెవర్ డన్ దట్ అండ్ ఐ హవ్ నెవర్ టోలరేటెడ్ అన్బేరబుల్ కోల్డ్ విండ్ హీట్ అండ్ ఐ హవ్ నెవర్ పర్ఫార్మ్డ్ ఎనీ ఆస్టెరిటీస్. థింకింగ్ ఆఫ్ రిచెస్ డే అండ్ నైట్ ఓన్లీ ఇన్స్టెడ్ ఆఫ్ థింకింగ్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ విత్ ఇంటెన్స్ ఎనర్జీ, బట్ నెవర్ హ్యావ్ ఐ థాట్ అబౌట్ ది లోటస్ ఫీట్ ఆఫ్ శివ. దస్ హ్యావ్ వి స్పెంట్ అవర్ హోల్ లైఫ్. వి ప్రిటెండెడ్ టు బి ఎసెటిక్స్, ఎస్పెషల్లీ ఎనసెటిక్, బట్ వీ నెవర్ గెట్ ది బెనిఫిట్స్ బికాస్ వీ హ్యావ్ నెవర్ లివ్డ్ ది ట్రూ లైఫ్ ఆఫ్ ఎనసెటిక్. భర్తృహరి, వాట్ ఈస్ ఇ డూయింగ్? హీఈస్ డిస్క్రైబింగ్ టు అస్ ది మార్వలస్ లైఫ్ ఆఫ్ ఎనసెటిక్, వాట్ ఇట్ షుడ్ బి. డూ యూ థింక్ ఎవరీ సన్యాసి, ఎవరీ రినౌన్సర్ ఈజ్ డూయింగ్ ఎనీథింగ్ ఆఫ్ ది సార్ట్? నథింగ్ ఆఫ్ ది సార్ట్. ఎవ్రీబడి ఈజ్ బిజీ విత్ నేమ్, ఫేమ్, ప్రిజర్వెన్స్ ఆఫ్ ది బాడీ, ఎంజాయ్మెంట్ ఆఫ్ ది బాడీ, అండ్ దెన్ వాట్ ఎవర్ హీ కెన్ గ్రాబ్, హీ కెన్ డూ ఇట్. ప్లెంటీ ఆఫ్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్స్ వీ గెట్ ఇన్ ది లైఫ్ ఆఫ్ శ్రీరామకృష్ణ, హోలీ మదర్, స్వామీజీ, ఎవ్రీవేర్ యూ ఓపెన్ యువర్ ఐస్ అండ్ యూ విల్ సీ. అండ్ దట్ ఈస్ వాట్ భర్తృహరి ఈజ్ లామెంటింగ్. దౌ దర్ ఈస్ అన్ ఇన్సిడెంట్ ఇన్ ది లైఫ్ ఆఫ్ స్వామి నిరంజనానంద. హీ స్టార్టెడ్ కమింగ్ టు శ్రీరామకృష్ణ ఐదర్ ఆన్ ఐ థింక్ ఆన్ హిస్ సెకండ్ ఆర్ థర్డ్ విజిట్. శ్రీరామకృష్ణ నిరంజనానంద వెంట్ టు మీట్ శ్రీరామకృష్ణ, అండ్ దెన్ శ్రీరామకృష్ణ యాజ్ ఇఫ్ హీ వాజ్ వెయిటింగ్ ఈగర్లీ, as soon as he saw Swami Niranjananda at a distance, he ran, embraced him tightly and said, my child, time is passing, life is going in vain, when are you trying to realize God? And then Niranjananda ji, later on he was thinking the thoughts, I am not getting any headache because I did not realize God, I am not making any effort, but why does this man have headache? For my God realization. And this beautiful mantra has been so beautifully explained. He did not mention the mantra, but this is what I have culled from his works. This going from birth to death, this traveling is what is called samsara in Sanskrit, the round of birth and death literally. This samsara is unreal, hollow, void of substance. Unless you give it up, you can never reach God, try however you may. By his light alone will man now cross the ocean of samsara. I say to you, you as Hindus, as descendants of the glorious Aryans, do not forget the great ideal of our religion, that great ideal of the Hindus, which is to go beyond the samsara, not only to renounce the world, but to give up heaven too. A, not only to give up evil, but to give up good too. And thus to go beyond all, beyond this phenomenal existence, and ultimately realize the Satchidananda Brahman, absolute existence, knowledge, bliss, which is Brahman. And until you get out of this wheel of samsara, until the slavery of desire is shaken off, you can't attain either bhakti or mukti or happiness. With this, the second chapter has come to an end. Now I will give you a summary of this. The second chapter of the Kena Upanishad has only 5 mantras. Of these 5 mantras, the 4th and 5th are the very essence, as it were. Of these 5, the 4th summarizes the essence of all the scriptures in this world. God is not far away. God is not elsewhere. God is not waiting for us to realize. He is all the time. It is only He. It is only through Him. Our body experiences, our body lives, our mind lives, our world lives, everything is experienced, everything is experienceable, only we have to become aware of it. So the teacher was asked by the disciples to teach. He had taught it in the first chapter, his Shrotrasya, Shrotram, Chakshuho, he is the Atman, Brahman, consciousness, in the ear of the ear, eye of the eye, etc. We have dealt with it. And then he wanted to test the students. So he says that he gave a hint. If you think that you know that Brahman well, then you know very little of Brahman. That means practically it is intellectual knowledge. But even if you think that my Ishtadevata, my God, or what is called Brahma, Karuvruti is God, that is also you know very little of it. Then he asked the students. Then the student said, I cannot describe it. That is what. Naham manyesu vedeti, nona vedeti vedacha. I can't tell, I know it well. I can't also tell, I do not know it at all. That is, it is indescribable, but I realized it. And whoever among us students realized it, they also are realized souls. Now, the teacher has taken over. He understood. He appreciated the student. Yasya amatam tasya matam. He who says, I know, but I cannot describe. But he who is eager to describe, both of them do not know the truth. So, for those who say, I do not know, he knows. For those who say, I know, they do not know. Yasya amatam tasya matam. Matam yasya navedasaha. Avignatam vijanatam. Vignatam avijanatam. And just now we discussed pratibodha viditam matam amrutattam hindate atmana vindate viryam vidyaya vindate amrutam. God is experienced. God only is experiencing God at every moment. And those who realize this, they are blessed. And if they can realize this is the last birth, and having obtained that knowledge, that very moment, they become illumined, and when this body falls, they will be forever free. There is no rebirth. Pratyasmat lokat amrutah bhavanti. So, this is the essence of what is said, that we see in the life of Sri Ramakrishna. What do we see? This human life is very precious, and those that do not avail of this beautiful opportunity will have to be reborn again and again. And we see this in the life of Sri Ramakrishna, how he used to weep inconsolably to the Divine Mother at the end of the day, at sunset. Oh Mother, another day is passing in vain and I have not seen you. Hence, it is that we should always use our opportunity to advance in spiritual life. To advance in spiritual life is to progress towards Sat, towards Chit, and towards Ananda. And we will start the third chapter in our tomorrow's class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayuhu Saritva Pranamami Muhur Muhuhu. May Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.